Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather on this Sunday to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would ask you to please make sure that you again go to read the bulletin thoroughly. The only announcement is the one that we've been making for several weeks now, but it's an important one, Vacation Bible School, which is coming up on July the 25th. Please mark that down on your calendar, and we are looking for kids. If you know any kids in the community, if you know any kids in your family, send them for that wonderful time of fellowship. Vacation Bible School is as fun for the children as it is for the adults, especially those who volunteer, and so it's usually a wonderful time, a good time. So we are always in need of volunteers, so if the Lord places it up on your heart to do that, please come and volunteer, or please just come to observe and be with the kids and everyone else. But that's going to be on July the 25th through the 27th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Of course, there are other things that will be going on here at Olney Presbyterian Church throughout the summertime, and so I'd ask you to please make sure that you read the bulletin. Also, go to the webpage to stay abreast of events here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Our scripture reading this morning will come, our epistle reading will come from Romans chapter 5. 5 verses 1 through 8. Let us at this time listen to God's word for us. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading from chapter 9 of Matthew's gospel, beginning at verse 35 and reading through chapter 10, verse 8, and let us listen to God's word for us. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. And these are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment. Give without payment. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Again, let me just thank all the fathers who are part of our congregation for all the work on this that they do on this Father's Day. I know that fathers often go unappreciated. It's difficult to be a father in these in this day and age, but we want to give thanks to all the fathers on this Father's Day. This is, of course, a holiday weekend. We one of the things about the summer is that they have a lot of holidays. People are away. One of the other holidays, of course, is tomorrow is Juneteenth. And so we will, number of us will be celebrating Juneteenth, the time that slaves in Texas heard the stunning good news that they were emancipated, they were set free by the fact that the Confederate states had lost the war, and so that good news didn't reach Texas until after the war was over, despite the Emancipation Proclamation. But on June the 19th, 1865, that good news came to Galveston, Texas, among the slaves there, and they heard that good news that they had been set free, they'd been liberated. And so we give God thanks for that, and we give God thanks for the work of freedom and liberation that continues in the midst of our world and in the midst of our own society. One of the things that Jesus is doing, of course, in our text this morning is Jesus is also proclaiming good news. He's proclaiming good news to all of those that he comes in contact with. He's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. He says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near. It is near because Jesus himself is the king. He is the king, the one who will inaugurate God's kingdom of justice, God's kingdom of mercy, God's kingdom of freedom. Jesus is the king, and so he is telling people that God's kingdom is near. The kingdom of God has come close. That's the good news that Jesus is sharing, and that's the good news that Jesus wants to be shared. But the problem is, of course, is that he needs help in proclaiming that good news in the midst of the world. He says that the harvest is plentiful, but there's not enough workers, not enough laborers to go around. You might remember coming out of the pandemic, one of the things that everyone was looking for were workers. There weren't enough laborers or workers to do the work that needed to be done. As our country came out of the pandemic, there weren't enough workers to staff the restaurants, weren't enough workers to staff our hospitals or the retail outlets. Everyone was looking for workers. Everywhere there were help wanted signs. And I remember going to one of my favorite coffee shops and discovering it was closed because they didn't have enough workers. Everybody was looking for workers. And that's true, of course, unfortunately, for Jesus this morning. Again, Jesus is on the lookout for workers. He's on the lookout for laborers. He's on the lookout for people who can do the work of the kingdom. And in our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus says again that the harvest is big. The harvest is plentiful. There's all kinds of work that needs to be done. There's just not enough people to do it. Not enough people to do the work. And so Jesus says, pray. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send more workers. I got to have more workers. That's what Jesus is saying in our gospel reading this morning. Of course, the harvest that Jesus is talking about is not a harvest of grain. It's not a harvest of wheat. It's not a harvest of anything like that. The harvest that Jesus is talking about is a harvest of people. People who are lost, people who are confused, people who need to be healed and liberated, people who need to be set free, people who are in need of God's love and grace and mercy in their lives. People who need to hear the good news of God's kingdom coming close to them. And so Jesus says, I need more help. I need more workers. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Of course, Jesus isn't terribly picky about the kind of workers he's looking for. There are no advanced degrees that you have to have to do the kinds of work that Jesus is looking for. There's no technical training or special certification that is necessary. Of course, in our tradition, if you want to be a preacher or a teacher or a counselor of some kind, you need some kind of training. But by and large, in the main, Jesus is just looking for ordinary people. He's looking for everyday, ordinary people. Those were the kind of people that Jesus called. Those were the kind of disciples that Jesus called. Everyday, ordinary people, fishermen, tax collectors, people with all kinds of issues. Everyday, ordinary people. Those are the kind of workers that Jesus is looking for. Those are the kind of workers that Jesus is looking for today. Ordinary people. Indeed, we're told that, you know, on one level, that not only do you not have to be qualified in the way that we often think one needs to be qualified to do ministry, but Jesus specifically calls the kind of people that we think may not be good candidates to do the work that Jesus is calling us to do, the all-important work that Jesus is calling us to do. But whenever Jesus needs work to be done, especially when it's kingdom work, especially when it's work of proclaiming the kingdom of God, Jesus calls everyday, ordinary people like all of us here this morning. But there is one qualification, I think, that Jesus is looking for. One qualification for all of us, and that qualification is compassion. We have to be people of compassion because that's what Jesus had. Jesus had compassion. One of the things we know about Jesus is that he had great compassion for people. And we are told that as Jesus sees the crowds pressing in upon him, one of the things that he has for the people is that his heart is filled with compassion for the people. That's what the Greek word means there. The Greek word for translated as compassion means a deep and moving churning that you have deep down inside of you. And that's what Jesus has as he's proclaiming the good news, as he's teaching in the synagogues. People are coming out from everywhere. They're coming out to be healed. They're coming out to hear what Jesus has to say. They're coming out to get a glimpse of him, and he has compassion for them. And I'm sure that Jesus saw some of the same things that we see whenever we look at people. I'm sure he saw all of the pettiness of the people. I'm sure he saw all of their brokenness, all of their ungodliness. I'm sure he saw all the people's shortcomings. He saw their bigotry. He saw their selfishness. He saw their greed. He saw their self-centeredness. But unlike us, Jesus doesn't respond the way we would respond. He doesn't respond with moral indignation. He doesn't respond with outrage. He doesn't even respond with judgment. Instead, we are told that he sees the people, and what he has for them is compassion. He has this deep compassion for the people because he knows how weak we are. He knows how captured we are. He knows how enslaved we all are to the forces and powers of sin and death. And so Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. There's plenty of work to do. The harvest is plentiful, but I need workers. The workers are few. I need more people. I need workers. I need more people to share the love and the grace and the mercy of God. And so Jesus says, pray. Pray for more workers who have the love and compassion of God poured into their hearts. Please pray for more workers. And then that's what Jesus does. He sends his few disciples out, the 12 that have been following him. He sends them out into the world, and he tells them to proclaim the gospel. And not only just to proclaim the gospel, he tells them to embody the gospel, to embody the gospel by doing the very things that Jesus himself did, by healing the sick, by casting out demons, by doing all the things that Jesus himself did. One of my favorite commentators, Debbie Thomas, says that our vocation as Jesus followers is to make the kingdom of God believable in the world. You know, anyone can go out and proclaim that God's kingdom is at hand. Any of us can go out and preach about God's incoming kingdom breaking through, but Jesus wants something more. He wants us to make the kingdom of God believable. He wants us to make God's love and compassion believable in the world. And one of the ways that we make it believable is by doing the same kind of things that Jesus himself did. Jesus wants us to go out and indeed to heal the sick. He wants us to raise the dead. He wants us to make the love and mercy and compassion of God a reality in the lives of the people that we are called to share the good news with. We're called to make it believable, incredible in the midst of our world. But of course, that's not easy work for anybody. Proclaiming God's kingdom and making it believable, incredible in the world is not easy work. In fact, you know as well as I do how difficult it can be. There are people out there, circumstances, situations that can tax even the most compassionate heart. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he was talking about the work that his church was doing. Apparently, his church operates some kind of a help center. And he was talking about some of the difficult people who come through needing help, and he was mentioning one man in particular. The man's name was Blevin, and he was one of their most difficult, most problematic people that they were trying to help. He had all kind of issues going on in his life, all kind of things he needed help with, but they undertook to help him. They helped to get him a job. That was one of the things he needed. He needed a job, and so they went out and helped him to find a job. Not only did they help him find a job, they even gave him a ride to go get the job. But before they could get back, before lunch hour, they got a call and said he'd quit the job that they gave him a ride to. Then they gave him, you know, they'd give him money to secure incidentals, living expenses, food, and he would take the money that they gave him and he would buy drugs with it. And then the temporary accommodations that they had helped secure for him. They helped him to get a temporary apartment, and he trashed the apartment that they helped to secure for him. And so the people on the board of the help center, they had had enough. They said, you know, we can't go on like this. We've just had enough. We got to find a way to wash our hands of Blevin. We've done all we can do for him. And everybody agreed, and indeed one woman said, yeah, the Bible says that God helps those who helps themselves. And everybody agreed, except one lady, one elderly lady, been on the board for a long time. She said, no, the Bible doesn't say that at all. That's not a quote from the Bible. That's a quote from Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin's Poor Richard's Almanac, but it's not a quote from the Bible. She says, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, while we were still weak, God died for us while we were weak, needing help. While we couldn't help ourselves, God had compassion on us. God didn't give up on us. God didn't kick us to the curb, but God died for us. And the woman said, if that's the kind of compassion that God has for each and every one of us, that's the kind of compassion that we ought to have for Blevin. Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray for the kind of workers who can make the love and compassion of God credible and believable for all the Blevins in the world. It's hard to believe, but 3 years ago, at this time, we were right in the middle of a pandemic. Y'all remember that? Hard to believe. I'm sure, you know, you remember that. I'm sure you remember how anxious we all were, how hunkered down and isolated we were. You know, we were like sheep without a shepherd. We were all fighting and quarreling and divided in our nation. You remember that? But the thing I remember most during that time is all of those who made the kingdom of God believable. All of those who made the kingdom of God credible, who made God's love and compassion credible in the midst of those very difficult times. People like Dr. James Mahoney. He was a doctor who worked in a hospital that served a low-income community in the Bronx. I'm not sure if he was a Christian or not, but all I know is that he did the kind of thing that Jesus did. He went around healing people. He went to work in the hospital at the beginning of the pandemic when everyone was still afraid of it, when most people didn't want to get out. Dr. Mahoney went there every day treating people who came into the hospital, treating people with respiratory ailments, treating people who had been failed by that terrible disease. He went there every day until he himself contracted the pandemic and it would eventually take his life. But he dedicated himself to the ministry of serving and healing, even at the cost of his own life. Debbie Thomas notes that to make God believable here and now is to stand in the hot white center, she says, of the world's pain. Not just to glance in the general direction of suffering and injustice and then sidle away, but to dwell there. To identify ourselves wholly with those who are aching, with those who are weeping, with those who are dying. And Jesus says that those are the kind of workers that he's looking for. I need workers, says Jesus. I need laborers. The harvest is plentiful. There's all kinds of people out there with all kinds of needs. There are all kinds of people out there who are anxious. All kinds of people out there who need to be set free. All kinds of people out there who need to be liberated from the things that are bringing them down low. Jesus says, I need workers. I need help. Pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send more workers. People who will make the kingdom of God believable in the midst of our world. I don't know what the immediate future for us, for our country, holds. I'm inclined to believe that the last pandemic will be much easier than the pandemic that I fear is getting ready to come upon us. A spiritual disease, a spiritual pandemic that will bring out the worst in all of us. A pandemic that will leave in its wake hatred and division and bigotry and people who will, instead of having compassion on people, attempt to use the passions of people towards their own end. But that's what makes what you and I are called to do so important. Because it's in the midst of the darkness of our world that we are called to make God's kingdom, God's coming kingdom, credible to all of our neighbors, whoever they may be, because they are like sheep without a shepherd. They are people who need direction. They are people who need to see the light and the love and the mercy of God. The thing that makes all of us uniquely qualified is this: we are all here because we have been made right with God. We are all here this morning because we have been justified. We are all here because we've had the love of God poured into our hearts. Poured into all of our hearts. Have you ever had something poured lavishly into you? We have had the love of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God, the Apostle Paul says, poured into our hearts. And it has been poured into our hearts not because we were godly, because we weren't, we were enemies of God. We have had it poured into our hearts not because we were strong, we were not, we were weak. But we've had it poured into our hearts because God died for the ungodly. God died for all of us. And in God's love and mercy and compassion, we have been made all right with God. And Jesus says, therefore, freely you have received, so freely give. Go give of yourself. Have you noticed how sometimes we can even make our Christian faith a commodity? That we can be so concerned with ourselves that we can come to church to get something for ourselves. I know people who do that. They come, they're constantly looking out for themselves. I'll go get something for myself. I go to a church because it has programs and it has the things that I like for me, or it has programs for our children. We're constantly making the things of God out of a commodity. But Jesus says, go give yourself. Go give yourself away. Freely you have received, so freely give. Go give of yourself. Go give of your life. Go give of the things that God has given you. Jesus says, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. There's a lot of work that still needs to be communicated. There's a lot of people who still need to know the love of God for their lives. What we need, what I need, says Jesus, I just need more workers. I just need more people of compassion and love and mercy in their hearts who are willing to give of themselves as I have given for all of you. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you this morning for your love and mercy and compassion for all of us. We thank you that in the life and the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have been made right. We have been made right with you. We are accorded as your people. But for those who have been given much, much is required. And so we ask, Lord, that you empower us through your Holy Spirit to go make the kingdom of God believable in the midst of our families, in the midst of our communities, in the midst of the world. Help us to be people of love and compassion and forgiveness, even in these dark times. And we ask all of these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.